Are you thinking that you'd like your next job to be in software engineering, product management, data analysis, or a host of other high-tech fields? Interested in learning about the Stanford MBA experience? This Admissions Straight Talk episode is going to discuss both how Exponent can help you land that next high-tech job, as well as how Stanford helped our guest launch his startup, Exponent.
Welcome to Admission Straight Talk, the podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. Your host is Accepted's founder and world-renowned admissions guru, Linda Abraham. At Accepted, our mission is to get you to that unforgettable moment when you read your acceptance email and shout, "Yes, I'm in!" Confident you'll be attending the perfect program to help you launch the career of your dreams.
Welcome to the 369th episode of Admissions Straight Talk. Thanks for joining me. It's early June now, and many of you are trying to decide whether business school is right for you and which business school you should apply to come fall and winter. And yes, round one deadlines are just around the corner. Here at Accepted, you can find the perfect guide for you. Best MBA programs, a guide to selecting the right one. That's the guide for you. This free download will walk you through the process of selecting programs that support your goals and where you are competitive and hence more likely to be accepted. Grab your copy at accepted.com/369download. Our guest today, Stephen Cognetta, earned his bachelor's at Princeton in computer science before taking a position at Google in product management, where he worked on Google search features and then Android Wear. In 2017, he founded Exponent and joined the Stanford MBA class of 2020, a little while later. Let's hear about his business, his MBA experience, and where he's headed. Stephen, welcome to Admissions Straight Talk.
Thanks. Excited to be here.
Thank you so much for joining me today, and congratulations on your MBA.
Thank you. Yeah, it's an interesting time to be graduating.
Yeah, I bet. It's an interesting time, period. Tell you what, let's leave the interesting times for a moment. Can you tell us a little bit about your background, where you grew up, and what do you like to do for fun when you can leave your house?
Totally. Yeah. So I grew up in the Bay Area. So my life always keeps pulling me back here, the San Francisco Bay Area. And I worked at Google, as you mentioned, for a couple of years. And then when I was founding Exponent, I took a big cross-country road trip where I went to 44 different states over a year and a half about.
Wow.
And I was doing a little bit of the digital nomad life, sort of starting a company, traveling, trying to explore and get out of the Bay Area. But of course, it took me back. My life took me back there, and I came back to Stanford for a great opportunity. And so I'm back in the Bay Area. Some things I like to do for fun. Obviously, I love road trips, kind of exploring and seeing things. I also am a huge fan of like puzzles and riddles and things like that. So I will go crazy for mind-twisting plots of TV shows and movies and stuff like that, which is probably what got me to be a computer science major in the first place.
Yeah, I have a son who's also a computer engineer and also loves puzzles and games and all that stuff. So it seems to go with it. What was the most interesting place or most beautiful, impressive, whatever place you visited when you took that 44-state road trip?
I really loved the natural beauty of West Virginia, the state.
Uh-huh.
It was just super beautiful. I was staying in a town called Lewisburg, and it was near a bunch of really beautiful natural beauty. And just, I also felt like there was a lot of an appreciation for the land there that felt really special. It's on my list because it was one of those places that I don't know that I knew much about it or had much of an expectation about it, but I was just blown away by the forest and the like natural beauty and all the local types of flowers and plants that were there in the region.
Yeah, there are many beautiful places in this country. That's all there is to it. I have not been to West Virginia, though. If I had to choose a place, I'd probably choose the Grand Tetons.
Mm, yeah, so beautiful. Yeah, it's interesting. Like growing up in California, I don't know that I think we in California have this idea that we're the most beautiful place in the U.S., which California is certainly beautiful, but there's just so much beauty in other parts of the U.S. also that I was not exposed to or knew about.
I did my junior year abroad. And after that, traveled in Europe, and I came home, and I just felt like I had done some travel in the United States, but very limited. And I felt like I didn't know anything about the United States. And I didn't do a 44-state road trip, but I did go through Arizona, Utah, Nevada, I think, Wyoming, Idaho, did quite a road trip about a year later. And it was largely because I really had felt like I hadn't seen anything in the United States, and that I was missing a lot.
Hmm.
But anyways, let's get back to your story. You graduated summa cum laude from Princeton. You were working at Google doing some pretty cool stuff, really a dream job in and of itself. Why did you decide you wanted an MBA?
Yeah, so my story is actually sometimes a little different. I applied to a deferred admit program. So actually, while I was at Princeton, I applied to get into Stanford. And the deferred admit program, for those who don't know, is you sort of get admitted and then you can choose to go to the MBA school 2 to 4 years out of your graduation date from undergrad. And at the time, it was really about, I knew I really valued higher education. I knew that there would be a path for me where I could potentially get an MBA. And it was sort of like an option that I thought was really helpful, especially as a STEM major, since I was majoring in computer science. I thought that it would really balance out my skill set of having both a technical background and then also the business acumen to help me succeed in the entrepreneurial world that I was hoping to get into.
So you already knew in college you wanted to be an entrepreneur?
In college, I had an inkling for sure. I had already been doing entrepreneurial stuff. I think in college, I didn't know that I absorbed that term entrepreneur the way I do now. Then in college, I was like, yeah, I mean, I like making things. I don't know if I'm an entrepreneur, though. But I sort of knew that an MBA would help me get in the general compass direction of where I wanted to go.
Did you question that after your stint at Google or the road trip?
Totally. I mean, in tech especially, there's a long, sort of a long history of rejecting the MBA program.
Mm-hmm. And looking down on it.
Yeah, absolutely. And seeing it as a negative sign in your resume, which was really funny because like, yeah, I come out to tech and then all of a sudden I'm a believer of that too, where I'm like, oh, MBAs are not worth it. They're totally a waste of time. Like you can just take that money and go invest it in a company that you start and you learn way more. And those are all prevailing ideologies in Silicon Valley that definitely had me swung in one direction, you know, and I think it wasn't until I took my road trip and I sort of experienced a little bit more of the real world that I became to appreciate actually a little bit more of the experience that an MBA can provide in terms of the community and support system and sort of a track to success that for me at the time was really, really helpful.
Okay, great. Obviously, you were applying deferred admission, you were applying from Princeton. You had a lot going for you in the application process. Was there anything that you found difficult in the process? I mean, it was a while ago, I realized, because you also did it back when you were in college.
Totally. Yeah, I mean, I think what I appreciated about the MBA application process, especially for Stanford, is that they asked the question, what matters most to you and why? And I remember that the challenging part of that application was just sitting there and thinking about what that actually was for me.
Yes.
And I appreciated that challenge. It's funny that it's evolved so much since I wrote that as well. Like I would probably write a totally different essay now, but with some of the same themes and ideas of the previous one. But yeah, I think that was the best part, honestly, of the whole MBA application process is just the opportunity to really sit there and think about what my story is and think about what does matter most to me.
It's the hardest question to answer with any degree of integrity. It's a real probing one. It's a very good one, in my opinion. It stood the test of time, and it is very difficult to answer.
Yeah, totally. It's also very vulnerable, too. Like, it's not so, like, you don't just go up to someone on the street and ask them what matters most to you and why. I think there's something about that question that also just really pulls out the inside of who you are. That's really helpful. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it's a tough one. But, okay, that makes a lot of sense to me. It also makes sense that what matters to you most will change and probably will continue to change.
Right.
What did you like most about Stanford? And if you want to define it pre-COVID, post-COVID, or if you do the whole thing, whatever you want, what did you like most about it?
Well, I think there's a lot of things I loved about Stanford. I think the community of people that I'm close to is something that I'm just super thankful for having lifelong friendships formed at this stage of my life. I'd say like the part of Stanford's curriculum learning experience that I really loved was they have this program called Arbuckle Fellowship. And it's sort of tied into this longer track basically of you, take this class called Touchy Feely, which is a really well-known class at Stanford.
Oh, yes.
You learn a lot about interpersonal dynamics and how to work with people, how to handle emotions that you have with working with some people or talking to people really as a human being. And it's a class that's just so hard to really explain because it's an experiential class where you're sitting in a room of 12 people talking about feelings for 7 hours a day. Or something, you know, like 7 hours a week, basically. But that kind of stuff was so powerful and so helpful for me as a human being. Like, ignore business, like just as a human being growing up in this world, like it's so helpful to have a lot of that experience. And then I think translating that also into the next year where I did a little bit of leadership coaching, I was learning how to become a leadership coach and how to work with, you know, MBA ones, basically MBA twos. And that was also just fundamentally helpful for the business that we'll talk about later too. But for me, like the business that I started Exponent is ultimately a coaching, you know, it helps people with career advancement and things like that. And so it was just really cool merging of like all my interests in the world where it was really emotionally rich. It was really about coaching and helping people. And it felt like I was working with some very intimate, powerful, vulnerable concepts that were really helpful for me to grow as a person.
Okay, great. But what could have been improved?
Definitely post-COVID, I could tell you a lot about what probably could be improved. I mean, I think the online learning experience is not on par with the experience that I would have loved to get out of an MBA program. We're obviously in crazy times, so it's hard to really criticize that element of the institution.
It was the last quarter that was affected, right, for you?
For me, it was the last quarter. So a lot of it was already a kind of a light quarter for me in general. I was sort of hoping to spend this quarter connecting with people, forming community, saying goodbye to the people in the community, which definitely is tough now in this time. And I think proper goodbyes are really important to me, actually. And so it's sad to have that stripped away. But we'll see. There's an attempt to do, you know, a virtual graduation. And there's some hopes that maybe in a couple months we'll be able to revisit each other actually in person. So yeah, I would say that's probably one of the biggest areas that comes to mind of my experience at Stanford. Otherwise, I would say that sometimes I wish that the classes that were taught were a little more tied to the real world. Oftentimes, I am taking a class and we're looking at cases or things like that, but it would be awesome to come out of Stanford with more hard skills that are exactly applicable to things like running the business. So for example, like email marketing principles would have been really helpful to know, even though it's, I know, not like the most high level case-based thing to learn. There are a lot of practical things that would help almost every business leader just understanding email marketing or like the principles of email marketing and things like that.
That obviously would have predated the whole COVID online thing. But granted that it was a less desirable modality for learning, the online, how did you handle the whole transition and the adjustment to online learning, social distancing, sheltering in place? You obviously really valued the interactions you'd had up until that point, the relationships you've created. So how did you handle that whole thing?
All of the factors that happened with COVID, including like online learning, social distancing, sheltering in place, they all kind of took away at one of the main benefits of an MBA program, which is what was so tough about it, is that MBA programs are inherently very community oriented, very socially oriented. And so when you take away the one thing that, you know, we're all sort of bought into and really excited about, especially in our last quarter at Stanford, it felt like a really big disappointment. And I think that was a lot of it was just emotional management of just feeling really disappointed, feeling a lot of the uncertainty about it. Some responses that have been helpful for me has been really doubling down on my roommates and the community that I live in, like the actual shelter in place that I'm in with the people here, and really investing in that community, planning events, mini events, even if it's just four of us, like, you know, watching a movie or something like that. And it still feels like I'm getting, you know, the benefit of the GSB experience by being close with these few people that I'm close with. And then we've also been doing some Zoom-based hangouts and things like that. For me, I don't know that it feels a little bit still like a halfway point for me in terms of connecting with people. And, you know, I'm hopeful that we can find ways to also invest in future activities and events. A lot of us will be living in San Francisco after we graduate. So there's an opportunity to kind of to revisit that and to try to reinvest in the people after we graduate too.
Do you think that Stanford could have done anything differently, given the circumstances, the suddenness, et cetera?
I don't know. I think I have a lot of empathy for Stanford's position in terms of just being as blindsided as all of us were.
Yeah.
They definitely have picked up on the Zoom and all that learning stuff pretty quickly, which has been impressive. Yeah, I don't know. I think what I would really look toward to Stanford to do isn't actually necessarily the moment that we're in now, but it would be the moments that follow the pandemic and what opportunities Stanford might be able to provide us in terms of community building and things like that might happen in the next few months as opposed to right now. And to be honest, my heart goes out more to the MBA ones who now may be going fall online. And I'd really be curious how they handle that or if they can help with that too.
I attended a conference that actually was attended by Kirsten Moss, you know, the admissions office at Stanford. Yeah. Not just she, but really all the schools were emphasizing how they've learned a lot since March, and they're going to try and have many more online community building activities, not just the classes. I mean, they acknowledge that the focus was getting the classes online, and this whole other component was to a certain extent secondary. And let's face it, getting the classes online for most of them was a big deal for the professors. But let me ask a different question. You obviously went into the whole MBA experience with certain expectations. It sounds like until March, they were pretty much being met. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so are you glad you did the MBA? And if you knew that there was a possibility that some portion of your MBA was going to be online, let's say, I don't know, fourth or half of it was going to be online, would you still do it?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think, so really what this question boils down to in my mind is, what were my goals coming into the MBA experience?
Right.
The question for me is, since my goals were not about the academic experience coming into the MBA program, I actually don't mind that as much. I think my goals coming in were more about community building, were more about emotional development and learning about that, coaching and becoming better at that and growing my business and learning tools to help me grow my business. And I haven't felt a loss of those pieces. Maybe the community building would be the only one, but to be honest, by the time that COVID has happened, I had already formed enough of a community that I felt happy with. I didn't necessarily need to form more of a community. So if I had known that the experience would be like this going into Stanford, I think I would have still come to the MBA program. However, if it had been completely online, I think that that wouldn't have suited my needs in terms of community building and emotional development, because I'm not so confident in the ability to translate those classes that are in person into online formats. So yeah, that would be my main concern with the
percentage
program.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on to Exponent. What is Exponent? How does it work?
Yeah, totally.
Start with basics.
So Exponent is an online learning platform to help people advance their careers in tech. And so what that looks like is, right now we focus a lot on interview prep. So helping people ace their interview with careers like product management, product marketing management, data science, technical program management, and a few others as well. So a lot of the popular roles in tech. And so we do this through three ways. We have online courses with videos and example interview question and answers. We have a coaching platform so people can book sessions with our expert coaches from Google, Facebook, etc. And then we also have a vibrant community of people that do mock interview practice with each other, or they submit practice questions to our forum, and we can review the questions and answers that they submit. So yeah, that's what Exponent is in a nutshell.
Okay, great. Now, when you arrived at the gorgeous GSB campus, you had already started, I think, Exponent, at least one other business. How did you, we're going to go back to what Exponent can do for others, but I want to just ask this question first. How did you manage running a business and being an MBA student?
It was hard. Exponent grew a lot throughout Stanford. Before coming to Stanford, I had been coaching clients myself. We had maybe a team of three coaches at the time. Now we have a team of about like 30 coaches. So it's a lot of a different, yeah. But back then I had a team of about two other coaches and me. And so I was doing coaching sessions during my MBA. So that means that I was like going to classes and then taking time between classes to do calls with clients to help them with interview prep, and then going back to my classes and trying to be social and trying to meet people the first quarter and trying to maintain relationships with friends outside of the GSB. And as you can imagine, it was a really, really challenging juggle for me. I think I ended up having to prioritize, and it was ruthlessly prioritizing, like, what is the most important thing for me to do this week? Is it meet people? Is it going to classes? Is it this thing? And I ended up not focusing on classes as much in the first quarter because I wanted to run this business. It was really important to me. I ended up realizing that coaching was just too much in terms of being able to run a business and be in school at the same time.
Yeah.
And so then I ended up deciding to stop coaching completely. And that's been helpful a lot in growing the business.
I had a similar experience years ago. I wasn't in my MBA program when I started Accepted. It was many years later, but I had other responsibilities and I was trying to run the business and I was also meeting with clients individually. And finally, I just said, I can't do all this.
Yeah.
Then I stopped doing the individual consulting. But one of the interesting things about Exponent is that you're very role specific and company specific, right? So what are some differences, let's say, between a data analyst interview and a product marketing interview, or between a Google interview and an Apple interview?
We try to craft our courses and our experience to be as tailored to the actual interview process that you have. So yes, if you have a product marketing management interview at Google, we show you different sets of lessons and questions and things like that so that you can easily browse through our course and get to those. It turns out that the differences between those interviews vary a lot. So there's no clear signal on some of them. We do have general trends between product marketing and product management, for example, where product marketing focuses a lot more on maybe more campaigns and marketing-oriented concepts and principles like brand, whereas product management may focus more on technical knowledge and being able to work with engineers. So there are some differences in the role that emerge into the interview process. And what we try to do is we also try to do mock interviews with people from those different jobs so you can get a sense of how they think about it and what the questions that they ask are. And then when you look within the company scope, it's even harder to really distinguish, like, what's really the difference between a Google PM interview and a Facebook PM interview? And it's surprising. There are subtle differences between them in terms of what you need to know and prepare for. And it's really tough for the interviewee because you have to now prepare for all these different types of companies and roles. And so that's what we try to do a lot with Exponent, is try to demystify that process, because it's a lot of scraping Glassdoor or like looking through, you know, long lists of possible interview questions to really find that piece of information that should be a lot easier to surface and to view.
So Exponent, just to make sure I have it clear, it's both an online resource with classes that I assume one can subscribe to or buy or whatever. And then in addition, there is one-on-one coaching component and mock interviews.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, you can either book the online courses or you can go to the one-on-one coaching sessions. And we also have a community, so people all join a Slack channel where they can all talk to each other.
And I assume it's not an or, it's an and. You can do the courses and the coaching, right?
Correct, correct. Right. We would not limit you to do that. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
How did Stanford play a role in the... Well, you founded Exponent before you got to Stanford, but in the building of Exponent.
It was actually really helpful being an MBA student while growing Exponent, especially because a lot of the target customers of the platform are MBA students. And so a lot of my peers could be user testers, beta testers, or they could be, you know, advisors, or some of them could be coaches, or some of them could help me make videos. And so really, like, honestly, being in Stanford was super, super helpful for growing the company and for making what it is today, to the point where, you know, we now also actually sell to MBA schools. So we provide our courses to MBA students, and Stanford was our first customer also. So it was just a really beautiful turnaround there in terms of being a part of the school as a student, but then also finding a way to help the school itself provide some of these useful resources and tools. And I've done several workshops just for Stanford only to help MBA ones and MBA twos get into product management and other careers.
Let's say the service you offered wasn't specifically geared to MBA students or business schools. Were there ways in which Stanford helped you beyond that?
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely beyond that was probably just the most notable way, but
I'm just trying to go beyond it.
A lot of the entrepreneurial support was really helpful for us. So there was people and mentors in the faculty department that were really helpful in terms of figuring out how we wanted to grow. One big problem or question that Exponent has is that we're a bootstrap company, which means that we don't actually take outside investment. And, you know, it was really helpful to talk to some mentors at the school because it's a very unconventional path. Creating a bootstrap company is not popular in the Valley. It's actually like the opposite. And so it was interesting to talk to some people and talks and people who came to the school to talk about that, to help us, you know, is this the right path? Is this reasonable? What do we need to watch out for? How do we manage our business differently? And some of those pieces and principles were really helpful for us, and even just our accounting structure and our business incorporation structure and things like that.
And why did you decide to go that route?
We decided to be bootstrap because we believe that the ability to grow our company slowly in the way that we want to, if possible, which we're lucky to be able to do, will ultimately make a better business for the people that use it. Oftentimes we see VC money kind of explode companies, and VCs don't necessarily care whether or not a company succeeds as much as whether or not the risk ratio is really high, so that, you know, there could be a possible benefit to the investors. And we just believe in creating a sustainable business that can help people, that also has a lot more control on the part of, you know, the owners and the co-founders of the company, as opposed to the investors, which are a little bit misaligned with incentives sometimes in terms of financial profit.
Right, or necessarily. I mean, if you're in a service business and your goal has to, I mean, I'm getting my soapbox a little bit here, to serve your clients.
Right.
That's not necessarily the goal of the investors.
Absolutely not.
So, and we're also bootstrapped.
That's great. Yeah.
Years ago, but yeah, we never took outside funding. What are your plans for the future, the next one?
It's hard to think about the future at a time like this, because who knows what anything will look like. My co-founder, Jacob, and I will be planning on continuing to work on the business. So that's a certainty, at least, is that we're going to be continuing to work on the business. You know, we have a lot of really exciting goals with our product. We've created this vibrant community. We've created a lot of valuable services. Jacob and I are both tech people. We're both product-oriented people. And so we do want to think about how can we take some of this stuff and turn it into a product experience. So we did that a little bit with our interview question forum, where, you know, we were noticing a lot of people sharing interview questions in our community. We pulled that out into a separate product that's like, hey, here, this will be more evergreen. This will, you know, you can always revisit it. You can comment on each other's answers, things like that, which really help people more than they would just by an informal community. And so we're invested in creating more of a product experience for our users to really turn Exponent into the sort of this online space where you can come in and you can train, you can get ready, you can prep for your upcoming interviews and your career advancement goals.
Are you thinking of expanding to other fields outside tech? Or are you thinking of taking more of a longitudinal approach? You know, people are in tech and they advance in their careers. I mean, or both?
Yeah,
I mean,
great question. We're thinking of staying in tech right now, just because that's our, you know, there's so many other consulting tools. There's so many other tools in other industries. And we feel like our competitive advantage is really in tech. So it's more the longitudinal answer, where now we're hoping to invest a little bit in helping people. Once we've helped people ace their PM interview, let's say, we want to help you continue to advance your career and learn product management fundamentals and skills. So hopefully we can stay with our users and develop more of a relationship with them over time.
Okay, great. What would you have liked me to ask you?
Well, you asked some really great questions. I think one question that we could talk about, or you could ask about it, would be around the emotional aspects of the company. So our company had a lot of ups and downs and turns and turnarounds throughout the course of the MBA program. And I think there's a lot of challenge with being a student and telling a co-founder that, hey, like, I'm a student still and I have to manage that. And I think we really went through it all in a strides, which was really awesome. But yeah, I personally just always think businesses have a lot of emotional pieces that never get heard sometimes, you know, because it's always like this picture that we paint that everything is fine and dandy and everything is going to be, you know, it's all for the business. It was all planned before. But there's actually tons of loops and turns throughout the process.
Oh, yeah. My daughter, when she was 19, we were at some friend's house for dinner, and except it was already well established, it was growing, was doing well. Our host was asked us something about the business, and my daughter was a sophomore in college and she was a business major, and she just started taking some business classes, and she turned to me and she says, "Mom, you did it all wrong." And I said, "What did I do wrong now?" We were at a friend's house for dinner, and she says, "Well, you didn't have a business plan when you started your business." And our host said to my daughter, "You know, your mom has a growing, profitable business. She must have had some plan, even if it wasn't a written formal business plan that you'd give to a potential investor. So maybe she did something right." But which my daughter piped down then, and she you know, she's fine. She's much older than she was at 19, much more mature. You know, I think you're 100% right that running a business inevitably has ups and downs, whether you have a formal business plan or you don't have a formal business plan. Things are going to happen that you don't plan for, sometimes negative, sometimes positive. Sometimes in your personal life, that tremendously affect a business that's yours, you know, and it doesn't go like this. Those nice graphs just don't happen in real life.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. Yeah, and it's so fascinating, actually. Like, if you actually look at businesses, sometimes businesses will say, oh, we made this decision because this is the strategic decision for the company. But if you look behind the hood, it's because there was a big breakup or because, you know, there was a co-founder conflict or something like that.
Right.
And it's all these emotional things underneath that kind of bubble up into these things that happen in businesses.
Or you see an opportunity. That's 100% true. But also there might be something that an opportunity you see.
Totally.
And you decide, well, let me try this. And you know what? It works really well. And maybe, you know, your marketing or whatever, your product development goes in a slightly different direction.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that's life. It doesn't have to be bad. It can be something positive.
Totally.
Yeah. It can be emotional. It can be an event, COVID.
Yeah.
Life is interesting. My 15-year-old grandson once walked in. He said, I was working. He said, Grandma, you work so hard. And I said, look, when you have a small business, you're either working to get business or to handle the business. And he said, yeah. And he says, but the second one is better. I said, yeah, you're right. But you're also 100% right that, you know, the planning for business is almost planning for the unexpected.
Right, right.
So anyway, well, thank you. I kind of pushed a button there, so I took off a little bit, but I completely agree with you.
I really resonate with a lot of that, and I think it's nice just to open up about it and talk about it more, because a lot of the norm in business is not to talk about it sometimes.
That's right, and I think you made a very, very good point. And I think it's a lot of listeners who are thinking of starting their own business, I hope will take a lot of what you've said to heart. Clearly, you have a growing, successful business. You've done something right, whether you have a business plan or you don't have a business plan, and I think it's going to be very valuable for them. I don't want to take up any more of your time. This has been delightful. And I want to thank you very much for joining me and sharing your MBA and your entrepreneurial story with my listeners and me. Where can they learn more about Exponent, acing their tech interviews, and landing that fantastic position that you're preparing them for?
Yeah. So our website is tryexponent.com. That's tryexponent.com. And then we also have a YouTube channel. You can just YouTube search Exponent and you can check out some of our mock interview videos.
Sounds great. Okay. We'll also link to Exponent from the show notes at exponent.com/369. If you find this show worthwhile, I have a favor to ask. Please tell your friends about the podcast. Your doing so helps us spread the news about Admission Straight Talk and it will help your African friends get accepted. This is Admission Straight Talk, produced by Accepted, and I'm your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.